Welcome to another Innovation Forum podcast with me, Ian Welsh. I'm with Phil Bloomer, Executive Director of the Business and Human Rights Resource Centre, and we're at Innovation Forum's How Business Can Target Forced Labour and Modern Slavery conference at Freshfields in London. Welcome, Phil.
Thank you.
It's just been 2 years since the Modern Slavery Act came into law in the UK. Now, you guys have been monitoring the slavery statements that have come out of this. So over the past 2 years, what have been the highs and the lows for you?
One of the highs is that we've already got on our registry 1,700 statements. That's probably at least 1,500 that wouldn't have been there otherwise. So that's an extraordinary achievement. It's also the case that we've got, for instance, a lot of anticipatory action being taken by companies before they even make their statements. They are thinking a year ahead. The difficulties are that a lot of those statements are simply demonstrate that a lot of companies have not been thinking about this. But that, in a sense, is a success because they're going to have to make another statement next year and the year after. And so there's now a sense of momentum that companies are going to have to provide mandatory transparency in terms of their actions to eliminate modern slavery in their operations and in their supply chains. There's a lot of space for them to improve their statements. So there are some real leaders, and I think that companies can learn very quickly from the best practice of those leaders by looking at the statements and how they've started to change their policies and practice to be able to deliver that kind of statement. But there's also the case that there's only 13% of all the statements even meet the obligatory requirements of the government, which are that you have to have it approved by the board, you have to have it signed by a director, and you have to have a link on your homepage of the company. So if only 13% are even able to meet those obligatory requirements, you can imagine what it's like in terms of the six suggested areas where companies are meant to describe what they're actually doing.
I see this guardedly as we're sitting in the smart offices of a city law firm, but have you seen too much lawyer speak? Has it been simply, well, what's the absolute minimum that we can get away with saying, and in fact, we don't really want to indicate any progress, simply what the lawyers want us to say?
What we have seen is quite a lot of boilerplate language that's obviously, that is repeated in verbatim between one statement and another because lawyers have apparently been providing that, or somebody's been providing that language. That said, there is also some evidence that lawyers have sought to support real advances inside the companies, particularly, I think, where companies have already got the political will to start to engage with this, because perhaps the lawyers inside the companies are seeing that this is something that is going to increasingly become either an area of reputation reward for the company because they're demonstrating leadership, or it will be an area of substantial reputation risk where investors and talent and customers and the general public start to increasingly demand more over the coming years.
Sure, I mean, certainly the fact that legal firms are really engaging now more and more on these matters. So what changes in actual corporate behaviour have impressed you? I mean, you did mention about companies doing changes ahead of their reporting. What changes have you seen?
To give you just a few instances, we have a private equity company that before they reported, they identified the high-risk suppliers that they have, and they went to those high-risk suppliers and asked them what they were going to do to eliminate slavery. Another one, property developer, decided to update all its supplier contracts. They were insisting to their suppliers that it was the employer pays, not the worker, being charged fees for the job. So all those things really do provide in the contracts support to vulnerable, poor people who would otherwise start to be trafficked into those lucrative supply chains of major transnational corporations. In telecom, this was Sky. You know, they'd done a whole modern slavery risk assessment of their operations and of all their suppliers. And others, such as in apparel, are doing training now of all their managers around the world and their purchasers to make sure that they're aware of the dangers that there are.
So as in many cases, the legislation has just given a nudge to perhaps companies who already were the better performers to just really push on and go further.
I think that's the danger. The danger that we're seeing is that we are going to end up with a missing middle. Yeah. You'll get a group of companies that are way out ahead and a very large group of companies that are really not taking this seriously. The challenge is to increase the movement, not only to reward the leaders, because they definitely need reward to move further, but also to provide enough reputation risk for some of the laggards to move forward.
So again, we want to kind of increasingly move forward the playing field to make the playing field more level, I guess, across the board. And we're seeing more pieces of legislation coming into force, not just in the UK, but around the world. Are we risking a regulation overload, do you think?
I would argue there's a massive regulation underload at the moment in terms of something so important as modern slavery. It was Abraham Lincoln who said, "Those who deny freedom to others deserve it not for themselves." And I still think that holds true. If we look at what's happened so far, we've got really intelligent legislation and regulation in the United States, which demands mandatory due diligence in terms of modern slavery, but in a very, very targeted fashion. You know, it's for those particular products from particular geographies identified by the Department of Labor. If you're introducing those into the United States, the obligation is on the importer to demonstrate that the products and their component parts have not been produced by modern slavery. That seems a clever and effective way of going about demanding due diligence. In the same way, the Mandatory Transparency in the UK Act, with its extraterritorial reach, demanding a level playing field not just for British companies, but for international companies that want action in the UK market, again, seems an intelligent way forward. In the US, again, the Federal Acquisition Regulation, that essentially uses public procurement as a major incentive. If the government is purchasing products and services, it's a signatory to a number of protocols around forced labour, and therefore there's an obligation on the state to say, and therefore we will only purchase from companies that can demonstrate that they're taking this issue seriously. I think those areas are areas where we can get to, hopefully. In my opinion, we should be striving for an international agreement on modern slavery, which would set that minimum floor of effective, targeted work. It would also be an enormous benefit to the companies. I've been in touch with Linda Cromyoung of the International Organization of Employers. We both agree that the last thing companies need is a spaghetti soup of incoherent, contradictory legislation from different governments. What we need is a common and coherent agreement about what should be in national legislation, and that should be set at a higher common denominator. So bringing in the best of what already exists in the United States, the best of what already exists in the UK, in the Netherlands, in Germany.
How realistic is it that this could be achieved?
If the employers were prepared to insist on this, and there is a lot of self-interest in doing so, that this could happen. We've been very encouraged by the responses that we've had from raising this initially with certain governments and also more publicly in a blog that we did a couple of weeks ago.
How optimistic are you that modern slavery is being tackled effectively? But lots of discussion around lots of new things that are happening and companies that are doing well and companies that aren't doing so well. But you know, do we have the right tools in place, or what more do we need to do?
There's no doubt that the movement to end slavery is growing, and it's on an upward trajectory at the moment. And that movement is a very broad movement, and it's full of unusual alliances. And the fact is that it includes the modern slavery advocates inside companies, inside investment houses, inside civil society, and inside governments. So that movement is broad, and that's a real opportunity for it to be effective over the coming years. We are not in anywhere like the situation that we need to be able to eliminate slavery, obviously. But we are in a situation where there really is the opportunity to finish the job over the next 10 years, I would argue. If investors continue to take this more seriously, if governments start to put in the right legislation, if companies start to really look at the pre-competitive collaboration which they need to gain the leverage which is necessary to reach down into tiers 2 and 3 and 4 of their supply chains and demand an end to that slavery. And if civil society continues to reward the leaders and put reputation risk on the laggards, if social media and media increases that level of public scrutiny, I think there's every reason to be optimistic that we can make a profound difference to the appalling situation of the poorest and most vulnerable people on our planet who are victims of this modern slavery, the fundamental denial of freedoms and dignities that involves.
Certainly it's great that lots of businesses are recognising that they have to deal with it, and also that there are lots of opportunities for them to innovate in doing so. Right. And I think that's something that certainly we're seeing a lot of at Innovation Forum. Phil Bloomer, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you very much.